This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 41 years ago, marathon running first burst into the American spotlight amid or after an act of terror. When Frank Shorter won the first gold medal for the United States in the marathon after a 64-year drought, he did so following the tragic murder of 11 Israeli athletes and coaches by Palestinian terrorists at the 1972 Munich Olympic Games.
Our next guest writes about these events in his book, Kings of the Road, How Frank Shorter, Bill Rogers, and Alberto Salazar Made Running Go Boom. Cameron Strocker is an author and an avid marathon runner himself. He joins us from New York. Cameron Strocker, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cameron, let me begin by first of all asking you, you've written about the history of running. It's something that you're very passionate about. When the bombs went off in Boston on Monday, what were you thinking? What was your initial reaction?
Well, of course, I think like most people, I thought it had to be a mistake, a gas leak, or you know, something that was not as horrific as what it turned out to be. And I have to say, since then, my heart breaks every time I read or hear about it, and particularly as a runner, to read about the amputations and the damages to the lower limbs. I don't know. There's something really, really awful about that.
Mm. Now, you've written a piece in USA Today, and in it you write that if, like in Munich in 1972, it turns out that the bombings at the Boston Marathon were also the work of terrorists, and it seems hard to believe they were not, it will be a tragic marking of the role the sport has come to occupy in our country and culture. Now, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, today, running is a tremendously popular and, well-viewed activity. In 1972, when Frank Shorter won that gold medal, few people even knew what distance running was, let alone what the marathon was. And that victory, many people believe, kicked off what was referred to as the running boom. I think it's a tragic reminder that running is now such a popular sport, and the Boston Marathon occupies such a central place in our culture that somebody intent on doing harm would think about doing it at the Boston Marathon.
Mm. And is there something about the nature of a marathon itself? I mean, in your book, Kings of the Road, I recall vividly you writing that the marathon is the public sport. I mean, it's as much the sport of the city that hosts a marathon as the runners themselves.
Absolutely. And distance running in particular is really the only sport where the average Joe, like me, can get into the same event as the elite athlete. You know, it'd be like playing basketball with Kobe Bryant. In a race, anybody can enter and anybody can run. And the other thing, of course, in a long road race like the marathon, you've got all of this openness, these open roads, open sidelines. There's no way to kind of keep things closed or protected. And that's what makes running so beautiful.
Hmm. And that beauty was echoed in when I was reminded of that beauty when I read the very gripping chapter that you wrote in your book about when Frank Shorter did indeed win the marathon games the Olympic Games in Munich in 1972. I think it's worth sort of reminding people the details of exactly what happened. I mean, Munich, those games were supposed to be sort of Germany's second try at hosting an Olympics following the ones that were hosted when under the Nazi regime. But what happened? Remind us of specifically what happened around the attacks on those Israeli athletes.
Well, the Palestinian terror group Black September snuck into the Olympic Village and took Israeli athletes hostage, and in the aftermath of the attempted escape, 11 athletes were killed. There was then a huge debate about whether the Olympics should even continue, and there were a lot of protests, a lot of people who believed the Olympics should be not continued. But in fact, they were delayed for a day. And the marathon, in a way, became the renewal moment for the Olympics. The television commentators at the time saw it as a kind of healing moment. And so Frank Shorter took center stage at this moment of terrible loss and death. But in some respects, he sort of reclaimed it and honored the dead, I suppose, by his victory.
So and Frank Shorter himself was a really interesting guy. He, I mean, in fact, he was one of the three main people that you write about: Frank Shorter, Bill Rogers, and Alberto Salazar, who in the title of your book made running go boom in the United States. But they all had New England ties. So tell us a little bit more about Shorter himself. He didn't exactly grow up thinking he was going to be a long distance runner.
No, Frank Shorter was a boy from Connecticut. And he went to private school. He went to Yale. His parents wanted him to go to medical school, you know, be the dutiful doctor. And in fact, he did end up going to medical school for a little bit, but he was still trying to run, and he couldn't find – the medical school wouldn't adjust its schedule for him, so he quit. And he went back and lived at home and trained by himself and then went down to Florida, where he became affiliated with the Florida Track Club and eventually qualified for the Olympic trials, won the Olympic marathon, and went on to become one of the three great American distance runners of that time.
Yeah, and his victory in the marathon itself was such a surprise for the United States, because there had been a 64-year drought of any American winning an Olympic marathon. And also the manner in which he did it. He had this long, comfortable lead. And then, you know, what happens as he turns the corner and enters the Olympic Stadium in Munich to finish off what he thought was going to be his, you know, hard-fought but guaranteed victory?
Well, I love thinking of this moment from Frank's perspective, because here he is, he's entering this tunnel and about to head into the Olympic Stadium, and, you know, he's probably feeling triumphant, and all he can hear is dead silence. And then he begins to hear people booing as he enters the stadium. And so naturally, of course, he thinks maybe they're booing for him. But what in fact happened was, right before he got to the stadium, a German student, Norbert Sudhaus, jumped out onto the track. And because he was dressed in athletic clothes, the people in the stadium thought a German was about to win the marathon. So everyone started cheering for him, and they were very excited. And then the police came and grabbed him and pulled him off. And that's what all the boos were. So poor Frank entered the stadium thinking, you know, this is a triumphant moment, only to hear the stadium, you know, chorus of boos ringing out for yanking the sky off of the track.
And in fact, we have some archival tape from that exact moment that you're talking about. It's as Frank Shorter enters the Olympic Stadium in Munich in the final stretch of the race. And you know, as you just mentioned, he has this huge surprise. And here's how Eric Segal and Jim McKay made the call for ABC News, ABC Sports, I should say. Here it is.
That's not Frank. That's not Frank.
The man who came into the stadium is not Frank Shorter.
That is an imposter. That used to happen in the Boston Marathon. That used to happen in the Boston Marathon. That is an imposter. Get him off the track. This happens in Bush League marathons.
We
this doesn't happen in
number
an Olympic
72.
Marathon.
This looks like a fake in the Olympic Games. They ought to throw him out.
Throw
it reminds you of the time that an American in 1904 hitched a ride on an automobile and tried to cheat and win the marathon. There's the leader. There's the man who will receive the tribute, the real tribute. Many in the stadium here have no idea that a fake has come into the ground.
Come on, Frank, you won it.
Frank is now inside the stadium, number 1014.
I just love hearing Eric Segal say, "Come on, Frank, you won it," as if Frank Shorter could hear him say that.
Right. I love that. Thank you so much for playing that. You know, I've never heard the audio of that. That's a terrific moment. Of course, I've read about it and I write about it, but I'd never heard it.
It's very, very like emotional. But I'm wondering, what was it about Shorter's victory itself that really sort of tipped the scales in terms of making marathon running or distance running popular in the United States? Because, you know, Americans win gold medals in a variety of sports in every Olympic Games, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's picking up, say, you know, bow and arrow to do archery.
Sure, or
Greco-Roman wrestling, yeah.
Greco-Roman wrestling, right. No, that's a very good question, and it really is too simplistic to say that Frank Shorter started the running boom or was responsible for the running boom. There was a swelling movement in the United States. You know, before Frank Shorter, there was Steve Prefontaine, who was, you know, quite popular and charismatic. In the 60s, people began to get into exercise, and aerobics was born during that time period. It's interesting to even remember that it wasn't until the early 60s that people even thought exercise was good for you. Earlier than that, people thought if you ran a marathon, you'd have a heart attack and die. There just began this kind of swelling recognition that getting out on the roads could actually be good, could be enjoyable, and could improve your quality of life. And yeah. Frank Shorter just, he happened to catch that wave and become emblematic of it by winning the gold medal at just the right time.
Well, that wave, of course, has, continued to swell. It by certain measures, running is as popular now as ever. I mean, we had, almost 30,000, 27,000 or so people enter this year's Boston Marathon. And so I wonder if we could spend the last couple minutes here looking forward a little bit. I mean, take us into the mind of a distance runner. The act of running a marathon relies so much, even though it can seem very solitary, it still relies so much on trust and camaraderie, not just amongst the runners themselves as they maybe draft off each other or try and figure out who's going to set the pace for which part of the course, but just the emotional support that they get from the crowds that line those 26.2 miles. So if we, who knows what's going to happen, but if we enter an era of high security marathons, how's that going to change the running of these races?
I think it will change it drastically. You're absolutely right. Anyone who has run a longer race, not even necessarily a marathon, knows that having a supportive crowd and even having other runners around you who are kind of supporting you while they're racing with you is essential if you're going to try to run your best. If you were going to run in a completely quiet environment, I think it would be very, very hard to push yourself and very, very sad as well.
Yeah, and anyone who stood on the route, say, for the Boston Marathon as you're cheering and you can hear the waves of the cheers go by, you can see how it lifts physically and spiritually a runner who might be, say, really struggling on Heartbreak Hill or mile 24. Yeah. In the last about 2 minutes that we have here, I wanted to play one more piece of tape from you, and that is specifically about the future of the Boston Marathon, because it is the nation's oldest and most historic. Here's Bill Rogers, another man that you write about, of course, a winner, multi-time winner of the Boston Marathon, legend in American running, talking to Morning Edition's Bob Oakes today about the future of the marathon in Boston.
Runners are very determined people. The American people are a very determined people. And marathoning is kind of a symbol of their effort. And the Boston Marathon is a very patriotic event. So when someone tries to hit that kind of sense of strength that we have and patriotism, we take a look at it and say, well, I don't think so. And yes, I probably will make an effort to run next year, and I know I can run the marathon. I'm kind of creaky. I'm 65 years old, but I saw that 70-year-old runner fall at the finish line when the blast hit near his back. He got up, and he finished the race. So, yeah, look for me at Boston next year.
Look for Bill Rogers mm-hmm. at Boston next year. I mean, he's not the only one who says the race ought to be run. Some people say it ought to be run, even before next year, but at the very least in defiance and have it be bigger than better than ever. I'm just wondering, we've got about 30 seconds or so. What do you think of the future of the Boston Marathon? What would you like to see?
I agree with Bill. Runners are an incredibly hardy type. I write about in the book the time that Alberto Salazar was essentially declared dead after running against Bill Rogers in the Falmouth Road Race. And, he got back up and got even better. I'm sure we're going to see that at Boston. Boston symbolizes so much and has been so much that it's hard to believe that it will ever not be what it was.
Run, Boston, run. I've been wanting to say that on air for days now. Run, Boston, run. Cameron Stracker is the author of Kings of the Road, How Frank Shorter, Bill Rogers, and Alberto Salazar Made Running Go Boom. Cameron, it was such a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, One Fund is launched in Boston. The goal is to raise money for families affected by the marathon bombing. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.